I have an unusual question to start with today. Have you ever heard a prayer you didn't like? Have you ever prayed a prayer you didn't like? It's like, that was a bad prayer. Lord, forgive me. That was a dumb prayer. I've heard some prayers I didn't like. And then what do you do? I mean, you're praying. You can't say to your brother, your sister, that was a dumb prayer. You can't do that. They were praying. But there are some prayers that bother me. Some of them around the dinner table, like rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. Or bless this bunch as they munch their lunch. And it's just a little bit too flippant. Then there's announcement prayers. And I might be guilty of announcement prayers, where the pastor might say, Lord, bless the fish fry, Tuesday night, 5 o'clock. And he's almost like he's looking around. Tuesday night, 5 o'clock to 7. Lord, help everybody to be there. And it's $15 a plate. Remind everybody we're raising money. It's a fundraiser for missions. No credit cards accepted. Lord, help people to remember to bring cash and checks. Maybe I've done that a few times. And then there's scolding prayers where you kind of feel like you're being yelled at. One Christian school teacher prayed before class, Lord, help these students to be here on time. You know how hard I work to get this lesson ready, and then they show up 15 minutes late, and then I got to teach the whole thing all over again, and it's so disrespectful, Lord, these students who come late to class. And, well, that's a scolding prayer. Then some prayers sound more like Star Trek than prayers. They're boldly going where no man has ever prayed before, up in the heavens, and the shields are up, and the phasers are on, and engage and make it so. And it's like we're commanding God like he's a starship or something. And it almost sounds like science fiction. Then a few times I've been around someone who had kind of a hotline prayer, and it went something like this. Yes, Lord, I hear you right away. Where? Who? Okay, Lord, thank you. Amen. What just happened? I mean, I think God was talking to them, and I was completely left out of the whole thing. So there are some prayers we probably don't like, and probably some of our own prayers that we shouldn't like. Because remember this, Jesus heard some prayers he didn't like, and he told us not to pray like that. So let's look at Matthew 6 today. We'll do the verses before and after the Lord's Prayer. Next week we'll look at the Lord's Prayer again, but today the title is How Not to Pray. Matthew 6, verse 5. And when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they will be seen by people. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. Oh, Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for what Jesus taught us to pray and not to pray. And please help us, Lord, as we are fed by your word this morning. Amen. When you pray, so Jesus assumes that we are praying, I suppose the worst prayer ever is no prayer. So he's saying, when you're praying, don't be like the hypocrites. Remember that hypocrite means actor. It means someone who's wearing a mask, someone who's pretending. So when you pray, take the mask off. Don't pretend, don't act, don't perform. It's just like that Pharisee we talked about last week who went to the temple in Luke chapter 18. He was performing, he was pretending to impress himself, to look down on this poor tax collector. God is not impressed by prayer actors. So remember that. And don't miss this. The hypocrites love to pray. See that? They love to pray. especially when there's people around. They probably don't love to pray when they're alone. Why? Because they love the attention they get. So the hypocrite is not lifting people up before the Lord. The hypocrite is puffing himself up before the people. And so prayer is rewarding. Prayer is rewarding for the hypocrites, but it's not the Lord's reward. It's the reward they get for people saying, wow, that was a great prayer. So Jesus warns us, don't do that. That's sin. Now there's two cautions here. Hypocrisy in prayer doesn't mean praying when we don't feel like it. I mean, there's many good things we don't feel like doing. Sometimes we pray, we don't feel like praying. Well, that's not hypocrisy. Remember, the hypocrites loved to pray. They had a great feeling praying, but their prayers were no good. So you can be richly rewarded by the Lord in prayer, even when you don't feel like praying. And second, just because some prayers are hypocritical doesn't mean that all prayers are hypocritical. We say to ourselves sometimes, oh yeah, we believe in prayer, but I don't want to pray right now because I don't want to be a hypocrite. Well, that's hypocritical. I mean, you say you believe in prayer, but right now I feel like a hypocrite, so I'm not going to pray because I don't want to be a hypocrite. That's hypocritical. Have you heard people say, our thoughts and prayers are with you? Thoughts and prayers are with you. This past week, there was a shooting at Michigan State University. The governor said this, we need effective change, not thoughts and prayers. No more thoughts and prayers. We need change. So in her mind, all prayer is just hypocritical. We need to do something. Prayer doesn't change a thing. Now, why did the governor say that? Well, to get the praise of certain people for a certain agenda. There was a lot of applause after she said that. She said, no more thoughts and prayers. We need to take action. Yay! Well, Jesus never said only pray. Certainly we pray and we do things. But some people think all prayer is hypocritical. Jesus said some prayer is hypocritical and ineffective. So don't give up on prayer. I know some politicians who are hypocritical and ineffective. That doesn't mean we give up on politics either. We stay in the battle and redeem it. So here's the first point today. Hypocrites pray or tell us not to pray because they love the rewards they get from people. Now, where do we go in the Bible to learn about hypocrisy? We can go to Isaiah 1. Isaiah 1 might be the greatest chapter in the Bible about hypocrisy. It doesn't say the word hypocrite in the chapter, but Isaiah describes hypocrisy graphically. Verse 15, chapter 1, God says to the hypocritical people in Jerusalem, so when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you offer many prayers, I will not be listening. Your hands are covered with blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil deeds from my sight, stop doing evil. Verse 17, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, obtain justice for the orphan, plead for the widow's case. And verse 18, we know this one, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall become white as snow. We know that verse. Well, that verse is in the context of their hypocritical praying. Let's stop. Let's reason together. Let's be cleansed on the inside. Let's not make religion an outward showing. That is the cure for hypocritical prayer. Don't pray like a hypocrite, Jesus says. Well, Jesus tells us there's a second solution for hypocrisy in prayer, verse 6. But as for you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So apparently, there was at that time and now a great temptation for us when we pray in front of other people. Our prayers can go sideways when we're praying in front of other people. We get nervous. We worry about our lines. We want people to like our prayers, so we take our eyes off the Lord. And so Jesus said, this is very practical advice, go find a private place. Go find a prayer closet. Get alone with God when you pray, if that is a temptation. He's not saying all public praying is bad. He's saying don't let the presence of other people distract you from being in the presence of the Lord. Don't let the presence of other people distract you from being in the presence of the Lord in prayer. So that leads to the second point today. The secret to prayer is secret prayer in God's presence. R.A. Torrey was a pastor who taught a lot about prayer. Here's what he said. He said we should never utter one single syllable of prayer, either in public or in private, until we are definitely conscious that we have come into the presence of God and we are actually praying to Him. So that's good preparation. Don't start praying until you remember you're coming into the presence of God. In other words, sometimes we have to get out of sight to get God truly in our sights. And this seems to be the theme of the whole of chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, because at the beginning of chapter 6, Jesus says, take care not to practice your righteousness in the sight of people, to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your fathers in heaven. So he goes through a lot of things that we do, religious practices. He says, don't give to be honored by men. That's verse 2. Don't pray to be seen by men. That's verse 5. And don't fast to be noticed by men. That's verse 16. Three times Jesus says they have their reward in full if you do it to be seen by others. But if you want your giving, your praying, your fasting, even all of your Christian living to be rewarded by the Lord, then Jesus says three times, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. There's a phrase in Latin, maybe you've heard it, coram Deo. Have you heard that? It means before the face of God or in the presence of God. The Latin comes from Psalm 56:13, to walk before the Lord. That's coram Deo, in the light of life. So coram Deo means we have to learn as believers to live before an audience of one. God is the audience for our Christian living, and that means privately and publicly we live in light of God's presence. That's where the true reward is. Amen. So let's review. Don't pray like a hypocrite to please people. Pray secretly to God the Father. He is your audience in prayer, and God will reward you when you come into His presence. So there's a second kind of praying that Jesus didn't like. It's in verse 7. And when you are praying, don't use thoughtless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. It's funny that the prayer is thoughtless, but they think that if they use more words, that they're going to be heard. When you are praying, some translations say, don't babble like the Gentiles. By Gentile, he just means people who don't have faith, people who don't worship the true God. They worship idols, they worship the earth like pagans, they worship like heathen people do. So let's remember, pagans pray. Their prayers are repetitious, they're ritualistic, they're mechanistic, but they're thoughtless, they're useless. Sometimes pagan worship is loud, it's frantic, as if to help the deaf idols hear. They have to really work themselves up. It can be impressive, the way they use magic and mind and thought and meditation to try to force things to change. John Stott said, this kind of prayer is all lips, no mind, no heart. There's a temple in Chanhassen, the Temple of Ek. Have you seen it? I've been there to visit one time. The people sit in a sanctuary to pray. They sit under this big blue light. What do they do to pray? They hum. Everybody just hums. And they think that what's happening is you're tuning into the frequency of the presence of God. They call the law of God. And then you can merge yourself into the oneness of God. But it's thoughtless. It's thoughtless repetition. Sometimes there's thoughtless repetition in our prayer. Sometimes there's thoughtless repetition in the church. We used to joke about 7-Eleven worship songs. Have you heard that? 7-Eleven worship songs when you sing the same seven words 11 times. And oh, that's annoying to some people. In this worldview of paganism, you're not praying to a personal God. You're trying to manipulate forces, the laws of nature, to try to bend reality to do your will. So that leads to the third point today. Pagan prayers and rituals seek to manipulate impersonal forces into doing their will. That's what we mean by New Age stuff. That's witchcraft. That's occultism. That's paganism. Everybody's your own God, and then you use your words and actions to try to tap into your own divinity to force reality to do your will for good or to curse someone else. Jesus says, don't pray like that. We're not pagans. Don't try to use your words to manipulate God into doing your will. Now, do we see any pagans praying in the Bible? Yes, we do. I think about the story in 1 Kings 18, when King Ahaz is king and of Israel, and he made paganism the national religion of Israel. He built a temple to Baal. He established a Baal priesthood. Here's the funny thing. The funny thing is Baal was the storm god, but it hadn't rained in Israel for more than 3 years. But that didn't stop them. They kept worshiping Baal, even though there was nothing. So Elijah goes to see King Ahaz, and he says, let's have a contest. Let's see which god is the true god. You sacrifice to Baal, the storm god. I'll sacrifice to the God of Abraham, the true God of Israel. Let's see which God can bring down fire, can bring down rain. And Ahab says, that's a great idea. So they go up to Mount Carmel. There's 450 prophets of Baal. There's one prophet of Israel, that's Elijah, one against 450. And so the prophets of Baal, they sacrifice an ox, they lay it on the wood, they pray and they dance all morning in their pagan rituals. Nothing, no answer from Baal. And remember, Elijah is mocking them. Oh, maybe your God is busy, maybe he's sleeping, maybe he's on the toilet. Well, then the prophets of Baal, they get all worked up and they rave all afternoon. There's louder praying, they cut themselves, there's blood everywhere, there's faster dancing. That's what you see in pagan ritual. Nothing. 8 hours later, no fire, no rain. Then Elijah, one man, he's all alone up there. He builds the altar, places the oxen on the wood, and then he soaks the wood. He soaks the wood with 3 jars of water. He wants to make sure there's no trickery going on here. He's got the water soaked, and then he prays. He prays for 2 things. He prays that God would be God. God would be the true God of Israel. And then he prays for Israel to have a spiritual revival. Just 60 words, less than a minute, one guy, surrounded by hundreds of people, And what happened? Fire, rain, and the people confessed, "The Lord is God. The Lord is God." So don't pray like a pagan. One guy, 1 minute, one woman, 1 minute, God will answer. What matters is you're praying to the true God who can hear you and answer you. So don't work yourself up with long-winded prayers trying to find the right formula or gin up more faith to try to control and convince God to answer you. That's not necessary. So let's review. Jesus heard prayers he didn't like. He told us to avoid praying like that. He said, don't pray like hypocrites to please people. He said, pray secretly to God the Father. He is your audience in prayer. He will reward you when you come into his presence. And secondly, he says, don't pray like a pagan. God is not hard of hearing. He's not hard of heart. You don't have to manipulate him with the force of faith or using your words and formulas to move him to answer. Christian prayer is totally unique in the world. There's nothing like it. And Jesus tells us why in verse 8. He tells us why Christian prayer is so unique. Don't be like them, he says. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven. And you know the rest of that. We'll look at that next week. There's nothing like Christian prayer because our God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. He knows what you need before you open your mouth in prayer. So what do? We just have to learn to pray like a child to an all-loving, all-good, all-knowing Heavenly Father. Our prayers should be so personal to our personal Father. Paul Miller wrote in the book, A Praying Life, don't try to get the prayer right. Just tell God where you are and what's on your mind. That's what little children do. They come as they are, runny noses and all. And like the disciples, they just say what's on their minds. In order to pray like a child, you might need to unlearn the non-personal, non-real praying that you have been taught. The only way to come to God is by taking off that spiritual mask. The real you has to meet the real God. The real you has to meet the real God. That's real prayer. So that's the fourth point today. True prayer is based on a true relationship with God the Father. God the Father. Luke 11:10. Do I have that scripture? Everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open. Now, which one of you fathers will ask his son for a fish, and instead of a fish, he will give him a snake? Or he will even ask for an egg, and his father will give him a scorpion. So if you, despite being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So let's make it simple. Pray like a child. True prayer is to God, your heavenly Father. God is your heavenly Father. John 1:12 says that when we believe in Christ, we are rightly called children of God. And from that point on, God the Father hears and answers our prayers. So come as a child and have confidence when you pray. And that leads me to the final point today. God the Father always answers his children's prayers. He can answer yes. He'll answer no. Every good father says no once in a while, right? He'll say, wait. Or God will say, here's something better. And you know what I think? I think number four is where we get most of our answers. He'll give us something better. So just pray. And I hope when I preach today, you want to pray. That no one's feeling guilty about praying. You just want to pray. But don't pray like a hypocrite. Don't pray like a pagan. Find a secret place. Get into God's presence. Pray like a child to an all-loving, all-good, Heavenly Father who knows what you need before you open your mouth. And the best gifts in life will come to those who ask, seek, and knock in prayer. Amen? Let's pray. You pray where you are as the worship team comes up. Pray about something you haven't prayed about in a long time. Pray about something you've prayed about 100 times, but this time, pray as a child. We're in His presence. Pray as a child. Don't worry about saying the right words. Just pray simply as a child to a loving Father. Ask, seek, and knock.